Are you held fast by Jesus today? I hope that you are. If you're not, you can be. It's as simple as faith. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. We're going to find verse 12 this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I want to thank all of you again for being here this morning. Pray for those that can't be here, but we're blessed to be able to gather in the name of the Lord to learn about Him. And if you haven't been here in a while and you don't know what's going on, we're walking through the book of Romans right now. We kind of covered the first half last Sunday, and we're going to pick up here at verse 12 this morning. So if you're able and willing, will you stand with us? Stand with me. Stand together. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and ask God to speak to us through His Word, and then we're going to read the text together, our passage this morning. So we'll pray, remain standing, and then we'll read. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne of grace again, God, I thank You. Thank You that You have given us Your Son. Thank You for His death, for our sins, and His resurrection to conquer death and hell and the grave. I thank You that You've shown us Your truth by Your Scriptures, that You convicted us by Your Spirit. And for those who believe, You have given us life everlasting. And Father, we pray for those here this morning or watching online who have never come to faith in Christ, that today would be the day that they would repent and trust in Christ alone. They would call on Your name and be saved. For the saved, I pray that they would identify with You publicly through baptism and that You would help us to serve You faithfully in the local church, Lord, as the body of believers that have been fitted together to do the work You've called us to. Lord, help us to grow in Your grace and knowledge. And Father, I pray that not only would people believe in You today, but that we would continue in Your Word, that we would be genuine disciples, continuing in Your Word, bearing much fruit for Your glory. And we pray that it could be said of this church that disciples are being multiplied in this place. And Father, we pray that You'll give us understanding of the text today, that Your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, that You would teach us, that we might know You, and that we might go and make You known. Please help me, for I'm nothing without You. Lord, I pray You'll bless Your word, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stay standing. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Please be seated. This is a verse that most of you have known for a long time, and it's a verse that we talk about a lot in evangelism. We want people to understand that the result of sin is death. That's the reality that we all face. Now, none of us like to think about death. We don't like to talk about death. None of us like the reality of death. But that is the world we live in. We live in a sinned, cursed world, and because sin abounds, death is abiding in this world. And we want to learn the truths about that today. We are walking through chapter 5 and really what the topic is from chapter 3, verse 21 until the end of this chapter, maybe we'll make it there today, is really about salvation. It's about righteousness through faith. It's about the fact that we can be justified before God by faith alone. He's talked to us a lot about Abraham's faith, but now He's going to give us this contrast and comparison between Adam, the first man, and Jesus Christ, the second Adam, and how that in many ways they are alike, but Christ is so much better. And so we're going to see that in the text today. But verse 12, just get this. Adam brought sin and death into the world and upon all mankind. And the truth is, we have all sinned against God. None of us are innocent. None of us are innocent. And most of you can look around and you can see that. One man brought sin into the world. And so I really feel like what Paul's trying to answer is the question is, he's been talking about how faith in Christ can give life to all who believe, and somebody might ask the question, how could one man give life to everyone who believes? How could one man do that? And so in part of, I think, answering that question, he says, well, you all know that death came by one man. So you can understand how that life can come by one, where the first man, Adam, was disobedient, Christ was obedient in every way, as by one man. If you are familiar with your Bibles, then you understand the truth that in the beginning, God created everything that was. He did that through His Word, through the power of His Spirit, and God created man in His image, the first man, Adam, or they say in Hebrew, I think, more like Adam. And then God made the woman from the man, woman, out of man came the woman, and they were created by God in the image of God in the very beginning. And in the beginning, everything was very good that God had made. And God gave them the garden to watch over and to enjoy, and he gave them only one command, to not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what Adam did was he disobeyed the one command that God had given. His act of disobedience did exactly what God said it would do. It brought death to Adam and to Eve, and by extension, the entire human race. Because you need to understand this. We'll get into it a little more in a little bit, but Adam was the first man and therefore the representative of all mankind. God designed nature that what you have in you is going to be passed on to the next generations that follow you. And that's exactly what happened with Adam, the first man. By sin, he brought death, and that sin and death passed through Adam to all mankind. That's what we see in the world today. So even as through one man, sin entered into the world, as by one man, sin entered. What that tells us, friends, is that there wasn't sin in the world. And a lot of times I'll meet people who say that they're atheists, and they'll say, if God's so good, why didn't he create everything in perfection without sin? And the answer is, he did. He created everything in perfection and without sin. And he only gave Adam one command. And in his disobedience, he brought sin and death into the world. So sin entered through that. Now, some of you, I know, are already thinking, but what about Satan? Didn't Satan bring sin into the world? But Satan didn't have any dominion on the world. And while there was angelic rebellion in heaven, there was no sin in the created realm that God had given Adam, he had given him dominion over. But when Adam sinned, sin entered into this physical created world. It may have been spiritually through Lucifer and those who followed him out of heaven, but it wasn't in this created world until Adam sinned. So one by one, Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And I can already hear the skeptics, but what about it? Adam didn't die. He took that fruit and he ate it, but he didn't die. But he did die that day. He did die that day. The Bible teaches us about death in several different ways. The first way is physical death. And we are all painfully aware of the reality of physical death. We've all lost people that we love. And I'm going to tell you, just going to be real with you guys, it's hard talking about it. Because it's hard not to make eye contact with some of you. And we've all lost people that we love. And we feel the sting of death. We know about the reality of physical death. But the Bible teaches us beyond physical death, there's spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation. That's when your spirit is separated from God. And that happened the moment that Adam ate that fruit. He was spiritually separated from God because of his sin. So he died spiritually that day, and his physical death began to happen. You know what that teaches us, friends? If Adam had never disobeyed God, then Adam would not have died. He had the potential to live forever. But he did partake, and he died spiritually in that moment. He began to die physically in that moment. And this is maybe a little depressing. We'll get to the good news in a minute, I promise, okay? The reality is all of us have begun dying the moment we come into this world. How's that for encouragement? Happy message today. You may not like it, you may not want to hear it, but I'm here to tell you the truth. And a lot of times the truth you don't want to hear. Every one of us is born to die. We come into this world, and it's appointed unto man once to die. That's for all of us. We all have that appointment with death, and we don't know when it's going to come. And we have all these questions about it, and we don't understand why some people live a long time, and some people seem to have their lives cut off short, and we don't understand why death comes upon everyone. But we need to understand, because the Bible's telling us right here, it's because death came into the world by sin. So death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. Because listen, not only does death, the Bible teaches us about physical death. When your spirit leaves your body, you die physically. Or spiritual death, when your spirit is separated from God. And friend, if you're not saved this morning, if you've never been born again this morning, if you've never trusted in Christ alone this morning, then right now in this moment, you are spiritually dead. You are separated from God by your sin. And there's a third kind of death. It's eternal death. It's when the unbeliever is fully and finally separated from the goodness of God for all eternity in the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is eternal death. This is death from which you cannot come back. And I know so many lost people in the world, they hear the gospel and they think, I'll get saved one day. One day I'll get saved. But friend, you don't know what day your appointment with death is. If you're ever going to be saved, you need to be saved today. If you're ever going to trust Christ, you need to do it now because you're not promised tomorrow. And when you cross from this life and that physical death takes you, you will enter into eternal death if you don't know Christ, if you've never been born again, if you're not saved. So as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And no one gets to escape that death because no one has lived without sin. The only one who ever lived without sin was Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of the Virgin. He didn't have Adam's blood in his veins. He didn't catch that disease of sin from his father because he didn't have an earthly father. His father was in heaven. The virgin birth is critical to understand how Jesus could be sinless. He was born of the Virgin. He was born of the seed of the woman. He didn't get the genetic defect of sin passed on to him through his earthly father because he didn't have an earthly father. You guys still with me? So Jesus was able to live a sinless life. So all of us have sinned except for Christ. And we're all guilty and death comes on all. So Adam brought sin and death into the world upon all mankind, and we have all sinned. And we all know that we're guilty, right? I guess I'll just do this till I die. But just in case anybody's ever missed it, how many of you have ever told a lie? You just raise your hand. And if you're not raising your hand, you are lying. You're lying. Lying. Right? You say, yeah, but everybody lies. It's not a big deal. And then we have color-coded lies, right? Like, I've told some lies, but they were little and white. No, we're dishonest. We bear false witness, and we're all guilty of that. And you might not think that's a big deal. How about this one? How many of you have ever disobeyed your parents? Yeah, see, that was the first commandment with the promise. God said, if you honor your father and mother, you obey your parents, then you will live long on the earth. And some of you grew up with a mom like mine, and you know why that Bible verse is true. Y'all laugh, but I ain't joking. How many of you have ever stolen something, even if it's small? Take something that belongs to somebody else? All the liars that didn't said they lied, they didn't raise their hand about stealing. Oh, I trust you. I believe you. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, whoever looks with lust commits adultery in his heart. You ever looked with lust? You ever taken God's name in vain? You see, we're guilty before God. We've all sinned. And we all want to say it's not that big a deal. Everybody's done it. It's okay, but it's not okay because it's not going to be humanity at large that's going to stand before God on Judgment Day. Because remember, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And your mom and dad aren't going to be able to stand at the judgment in your place. And your pastor is not going to be able to stand in your place. And your children aren't going to be able to stand in your place. And your best friend isn't going to be able to stand in your place. You will stand alone. You will stand alone. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. We're sinned, and sin is deadly guilty. It's deadly serious. We read about it. I shared this with you a few months ago. We actually talked about this in December, but death came to all man. We read about it in Genesis. He just goes from everybody. He lived and he died. Adam lived and he died. Seth lived and he died. Eos lived and he died. Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Methuselah, Lamech. And he just goes down the list of the genealogies in Genesis, and he lived and he died, and he lived and he died. And you know it's true in your own life, don't you? My grandfathers, they lived and they died. My grandmothers, they lived and they died. My aunts and uncles, they lived and they died. My friends have lived and died. Brothers and sisters in this church have lived and died. And friends, one day, you are alive today, but one day you will die. And you need to be ready to face that day. You need to be sure that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we have been studying all through this letter about how that happens, and it's by faith alone. You cannot be good enough to earn your salvation. The works of the law cannot save you, and the works of the law cannot keep you saved. You must come to God by faith in Christ alone. There's no other way. No other way. But you can stand right before God by faith. Just look at it. Back in verse 1 here in this same chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's only by God's grace that he gave his only son, and it's only by faith that his death and resurrection, his atonement, is applied to your account. So you must believe, must trust in Christ alone, because we've all sinned. So Adam brought sin and death into the world and upon all mankind, and we are all guilty. Now let's go on to verse 13 through 17. And here he gives us this comparison and this contrast. Death reigns in Adam, and life reigns in Christ. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure or type of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So there's a lot here. Let's try to unpack it. Verse 13, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses. The law did not bring sin into the world. Sin was already in the world before the law. How do you know? Because death reigned. You guys see that in your Bible? In verse 14, death reigned. Death reigned. What does it mean to reign? That's what a king does. That's what a sovereign does. But this world, through death, death reigns over this world. And we saw it before, didn't we? From the very beginning, death came into the world. We see murder in the very beginning. Cain slew his brother Abel. And death has been passing, and death has been in the world. Death has reigned. So you say, see, the Jews were so hung up on the law, and Paul's trying to remind them that, listen, Abraham was saved before the law. Abraham came to faith in God and got righteousness by faith before he was circumcised. It's not about the law, it's about faith. And the same thing on the other side with death. It's not because the law came that people died. It's not because the law came that we're all guilty. We're all guilty even if we don't know the law. And that's what he taught us in Romans chapter 2, that those who don't have the oracles of God are still guilty before God because we have the law of God written in our hearts. Even if you don't know what the Bible says, you have been given a conscience to know right from wrong. And so we're all guilty. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. He says, even over those that sinned not, who did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So what was Adam's transgression like? God set him in the garden, gave him every good thing to enjoy. Only gave him one command, don't do this, don't eat of that tree, okay? That was it. So Adam had a direct revelation from God in what not to do. But when he did what God said not to do, he died that day spiritually, right? Isn't that how that happened? Let me give you a hard truth. After Adam brought sin into the world, people have died who didn't have the kind of sin that Adam did. They didn't have a direct revelation from God, don't do this, but they died anyway. That God didn't speak to them like he spoke to Adam, or those who had the law, God, there are people who never had the law of God, the rules to live by, and they died anyway. Those who we would see as innocent, infants, babies, even in the womb, pass away. Death comes on all of us. Whether we've had a direct revelation from God, whether we've had the law or not, death comes to all because we've all sinned, because we're all born with a sin nature. So death is the evidence that sin is in the world. I don't know that you really need much evidence to see that sin's in the world, do you? Sin and death are reigning in this world, have reigned in this world. Then he goes on in verse 15, says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So what's he saying? Well, at the end of verse 14, he tells us Adam was a figure or a type or a picture of him that was to come. Adam, the first man, was a picture of Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was going to come. So the first Adam pictures the second Adam, and the first Adam failed, and he was offense to God, and he sinned against God. The second Adam was perfect. But he says here in verse 15, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. In other words, the offense is different than the free gift. Because even through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is one man by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So he says, Adam is a picture. And what Adam did wrong brought death to everyone. But in a much greater way, Jesus Christ, by his obedience, has brought life to many. And what Jesus did is greater. Well, it's certainly better. That's not hard, is it? Adam brought death. Christ gives life. We deserve death. Maybe through the message this morning, you're just sitting here thinking, man, that stinking Adam. Look at what he did to all. It's all his fault. Well, you're not wrong that it originates with Adam. It does originate with him. If you follow this flood of sin and death in the world back to its source, it springs out of Adam. But friend, I can't blame Adam for my sin. I got my nature from him, but my personal sin and rebellion is my own. And your personal sin and rebellion is your own. They tried that, didn't they? Adam, how do you know you're naked? What did you do? Have you eaten of the tree I told you not to eat of? You remember what Adam says? The woman you gave me. It's that woman you gave me. That woman you gave me, she gave me fruit and I ate it. Right? So what is the Lord goes to Eve? And what does she say? The serpent, he tricked me. And so that blame shifting is from the origins of mankind. I don't know if we've perfected it yet, but my kids are really close. And when you got four kids in the house, there's plenty of blame to go around. Right? Do you suppose that's going to work at the judgment? You suppose I'm going to kneel before Lord Jesus and he starts to examine me for the good that I've done, the good and evil I've done in my life, and I'm like, that woman you gave me. You reckon that'll work? Those people you wanted me to pastor, think that'll work? My parents. Maybe we can blame it on the government. I don't think that's going to work, friends. I think that we need to understand that we're going to have to give an account for ourselves. The gift, the offense of one, many are dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which was won by Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16, is not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So the judgment that came sin and death was by one to condemnation, but the free gift, life, is through many offenses unto justification. You imagine this. Adam sinned once and brought death and sin to the entire human race throughout the history of mankind. One sin. You guys get that? So that one sin brought death and destruction and sorrow to the world for all this time by one thing. That's pretty awful, isn't it? But think about the culmination of all that sin. How much did Adam and Eve sin after that? Abel before he was killed. Cain, Seth. All the people that you read about in those genealogies, how much sin did they cumulatively, all together, how much sin did they all commit before they died? And you think about the generations through that time, the billions of people who have lived on this planet, and how much offense has been done against a holy God. Well, hey, how about just this? Think about your own life. How many times have you sinned against God? How many times have you been an offense before God? How many times have you disobeyed and rebelled? How many times have you failed to do what you knew was right? Can you imagine having to add up all of the sin of your life? And let's just consider the people who are alive right now. Multiply that by 8 billion. That's a lot of offenses, isn't it? But one man. One man, the second Adam, Christ Jesus the Lord, he died to pay for all of those offenses of all time. You see how it's much more? Do you see how it's much, much greater? Do you see how his grace abounds more and more? His grace has abounded to many. But hear me. Christ's death for all mankind, his death for sin, his death to redeem everything that Adam lost when he rebelled against God, his death and resurrection have no value to you if you don't believe. You must believe, or his sacrifice is not applied to your account. His righteousness is not applied to your account. Your guilt is not taken away unless you trust in Christ alone. You must believe. Judgment was by one to condemnation, the free gift of many offenses to justification. The judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses worldwide throughout time to justification. Verse 17, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So Adam's offense, death came and ruled over the world because of his guilt. But much more than that death and guilt, those who receive abundance of grace through faith, we know it's by grace through faith, and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And not just life here, friends, but life eternal. Comes to all who believe. Remember, we said that there's physical death, spiritual death, death, eternal death. Well, there's also physical life. And there is spiritual life. And there is eternal life. You're alive physically. At least most of you look pretty much. Still alive. Semi-conscious, but alive. Spiritual life comes to you when you trust in Jesus. Jesus said you must be born again. When you're born again, when you turn away from your sin and unbelief and you trust in Jesus, when you're saved, how many of you can remember that day? You remember when you came to faith in Christ? You remember, how many of you can remember where you were at? You remember where you were? You remember that moment when you finally came to saving faith in Jesus? You know that you're trusting in him today, and that's the most important thing, but some of you can remember that moment. You can remember where you were. You can remember what was going on, and I just want you to get this. In that moment, spiritual life came to you. You became alive spiritually that day. where you were dead and separated from God in sin, now you've been made alive by faith in Jesus Christ. His Spirit comes to live inside of you. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, and you are no longer separated from God by your sin. You have everlasting life. And one day, one glorious day, when you pass from this life, you get to be in heaven. Now, we look at death as a very sad thing, and it is. A very sorrowful thing, and it is. A time of heartache, and it is. But listen, for the believer, death is just the doorway into eternal life. It's just one step into the presence of Christ forever. And yeah, we're sad to lose people here, but friends, it's a glorious thing for our brothers and sisters who get to go to be with Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? For me to depart and be with Christ is far better. It's far better. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. So we reign in life by one Jesus Christ. That physical life is a gift from God. That spiritual life is a gift. It's the grace by faith. And then there's that eternal life. That's when we step over into eternity. So throughout this passage, he's been pitting against each other these different ideas: sin versus righteousness, death versus life, the offense versus the free gift or grace, judgment versus justification, disobedience versus obedience. And he's laid it all out for us. In Adam, there's disobedience, condemnation, wrath, death. And in Christ, there's life, forgiveness, justification, and righteousness. And he's laid it all out. Adam and Jesus are alike in that they represent many. Their actions pass to others. And what Adam did passed to all mankind. But what Christ did passes only to those who trust in him. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. So we see the offense, the judgment. On the other side, the righteousness and the grace of God. Many shall be made righteous by his faith. In verses 18 and 19, he uses these words, all and many. And we'll make sure that we clarify. I believe that this is one of those times where parallelism is used to teach the point. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. We understand that in Adam, all are dead. That means everyone. But we understand from all of the scriptures that we've been studying that all all are not made righteous unless they accept the free gift. But you see that? In other words, this is really important. There are people today who believe in what is called universalism, the idea that since Christ died for all, therefore all are automatically saved. And the Bible teaches us plainly that unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you believe, the wrath of God abides on you still. Christ couldn't have been more clear, could he? When he talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, do you remember? God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would have everlasting life. But then he goes on to tell us that those who don't believe, the wrath of God abides on them still because they don't believe. And so his universal death does not mean universal salvation. It means it's universally available, but you must appropriate it by faith. The blood has to be applied by faith. So believe. He does the same thing in the other way in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So here we have the flip side of it. In Adam's disobedience, were just many people made sinners, or were all people made sinners? All. All. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But then he gives us the parallel the other way, because many will be made righteous. Many will be made righteous, and it's only by faith. Only by faith. Verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, what's it say? Grace did much more abound. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's a beautiful, beautiful statement. Sin has abounded in the world, but God's grace is greater. Sin has abounded in our nation, but God's grace is greater. Sin has abounded in my own life, but God's grace is greater. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. As sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God for his grace, that he would send Christ for sinners like us. Life eternal is available to all who believe. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. As we come to the end of our service, I want to give you guys all an opportunity to respond, not to me, but to the Word of God today. I still believe God's Holy Spirit convicts. I believe that he draws. And I believe when the Word of God is preached, Christ crucified is preached, that the Spirit of God will draw you. And there may be someone standing here right now who's never been born again. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins. You've never come to personal faith in Jesus. This morning, you can repent. You can change your mind about who you are and who God is. You can change your mind about your sin. You can turn away from your unbelief to the living God. This morning, you can trust in Christ alone to be your Savior. You can not just believe it up here in your brain, but trust in him with all your heart, that he died for you and that he rose again. You can be born again today. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent and believe the gospel this morning. If you've been saved, but you never identified publicly with Christ through baptism after your salvation, you need to follow Jesus in that way. Identify with him publicly through baptism. I believe that all of us have steps that we need to take in our faith. No matter how long you've been saved, we all have growing to do. So whatever step the Lord is calling you to, we want to give you an opportunity to respond in obedience of faith this morning while we sing.